Hello and welcome to the Vegan Body Revolution Show. I am your host, Thomas Tadlock from veganbodyrevolution.com, where I show you how to achieve your ultimate dream body on a 100% plant-based diet. I want to thank you so much for tuning in today. I have a very special show for you today. This episode is going to be about something that I have absolutely no expertise in. It's about endurance. More specifically, ultra endurance. I don't know if you've found the same things that I have, but I've read a lot of articles and I've seen a lot of athletes featured who have been able to create amazing feats of endurance. We're talking running 50 to 100 miles within a single race, and then being able to do marathon after marathon after marathon, and they claim to be able to do this after having switched to either a vegetarian or a vegan diet. Now, I am by no means an endurance runner. In fact, I haven't run in probably close to a year. But nonetheless, this has really fascinated me because I want to know, what is it about switching to either vegan or vegetarian that has helped these folks be able to increase their endurance to almost unimaginable lengths? So what I've done is I've gone on a search to find the best experts that I can on this topic, and I was able to run into a gentleman who is just the most humble guy about this topic. And let me tell you a little bit about him. He claims to be just a normal average guy who's managed to achieve some cool things as a runner. And when I tell you what he's done, I think you'll say that he's more than just normal. But that just kind of tells you where he is, and I think I can't wait for you to be able to learn from him. He's been featured in Trail Runner magazine, Canadian Runner magazine, Rich Roll's book, Finding Ultra, and Brendan Brazier's book, Thrive Foods. He's also run 3 50-mile ultras and 3 50Ks along with many marathons, including the Boston Marathon. 2 weeks ago, he ran his very first 100-mile ultra marathon, the Burning River 100 in Ohio. He's also an author. He's the author of the upcoming book, No Meat Athlete, Run on Plants and Discover Your Fittest, Fastest, Happiest Self, which comes out October 1st, but is currently available for pre-order at any major bookseller. And he's also the founder of the blog website, nomeatathlete.com. I'd like you to help me welcome on to the Vegan Body Revolution Show, Mr. Matt Frazier. Matt, how are you doing, my friend?
I'm doing great. Thanks a lot, Tom. Thanks for having me on here. I'm excited to talk about this stuff.
Well, me too. And Matt, really quickly, before we get started, where are you from?
I live now in Asheville, North Carolina, a little town in the west of North Carolina in the mountains.
Oh, all right. Beautiful. And now you founded the website nomeatathlete.com.
Mm-hmm.
And how long ago was that? Because I see your logo and your t-shirts just about at every vegan or vegetarian event that I go to.
Right. Yeah, they've kind of made their way around the country and the globe in some way. It's only been actually about 4.5 years since I, you know, first registered the domain and kind of just started blogging. It started out as just a little diary I was on a sort of mission to qualify for the Boston Marathon, and I had decided to try out a vegetarian diet at the time. I'm now vegan, but at the time I was just starting, you know, where I knew how to start. So I started vegetarian and just kind of blogged my progress. And then it just sort of took off from there. I think people kind of, you know, liked the idea. It resonated with some people. And then it just kind of gradually grew into this much thing that's much bigger than me. You know, it's more now about the movement, I think, and the showing people that you can run on plants, so to speak.
It's a beautiful blog. I've been looking at it over the past couple of weeks. It's absolutely a beautiful blog. It's very easy to find information on it, and you've got one of the coolest logos I've ever seen. It's a carrot running.
Yeah, my sister drew that for me when we
really?
Started. Yeah,
wow.
And it's gone through several iterations now of like from being like a little stick figure thing to being a I guess slightly nicer looking stick figure thing.
But, and now you've got a book that's coming out called No Meat Athlete.
Yes. And that book is basically a kind of a distillation of the all the tools and techniques and mindsets and everything that I've learned in my time as a vegetarian and now vegan, and as a runner too, because it's kind of it helps people to get started with running to build up to a half marathon distance, and I talk a little bit more about going beyond that into marathons or ultras if people would like, And yeah, plenty of recipes, all kinds of different tools and tips in there.
That is freaking cool. Wow.
Yeah, thank you.
So I gotta find out, how long have you been vegetarian?
I really went vegetarian like right when I started the blog. So that was about 4.5 years ago, and it's been about 2.5 years now since I've been vegan.
All right. Oh, 2.5 years since you've been vegan. And, yep. And we're going to be talking about this more in detail, but were you always an endurance athlete before you even became vegetarian?
I ran my first marathon in 2002 when I was in college. I didn't really consider myself an endurance athlete at the time. I was just kind of into weightlifting with some friends, and we were bulking up, and then we decided we wanted to lose some fat. So we said, well, I bet if you could run a marathon, then you probably wouldn't have much fat. So let's therefore run a marathon to lose fat. And it turned out to not be the best idea. It didn't go that well, but it did get me started down the path. It, you know, made me realize how much I really enjoyed the challenge of an endurance sport.
How come that didn't work?
Well, we were in college, first of all, so we weren't the most committed bunch, as eager and excited as we were about it. We weren't runners. We were weightlifters. We didn't know what we were doing, and the training didn't go well. About halfway through, all of us started to get injured, and we kept it up. We all did make it across the finish line, but it took us close to 5 hours. We walked the last 6-7 miles of the marathon for sure. It was ugly, and it was to this day, that was the most painful day I've ever experienced, like physically painful, way worse than the 100-miler was.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Wait, so for those of us who don't know, including myself, how long is a marathon?
Oh yeah, a marathon is 26.2 miles. That's a standard distance. So whenever someone says marathon, it's always 26.2 miles.
26.2 miles. Now, I've got this information here that you sent to me. So that was your first marathon you ever did.
Yes.
And it took you, it looks like, 4 hours and 53 minutes to be able to pull that off.
Yeah. It was weird. Like I think my halfway time point in the marathon was 18 miles. So that it tells you how fast I went out and how hard I crashed.
Wow. Yeah, yeah. I've never done a marathon in my life, so I can't talk. But I'm laughing because I'm just imagining a bunch of college guys that are just kind of trying to figure it all out, going on a marathon, wishing they had never done this.
It was that, certainly around mile 20. It was, we were like, what are we doing?
Oh, it's funny because I started lifting for the first time in my life in college, and when I felt like I was pretty darn dedicated because I would do just about anything to procrastinate doing any of my real schoolwork that I needed to get done. I was at the gym all the time back in college, but with running, does it take more time to train for running because you've got such long distances to cover?
It doesn't have to take, like I said, we were into kind of weightlifting, bodybuilding type stuff then. And we were spending an hour in the gym most days out of the week. So when we switched to running, it kind of shifted to be like a lot of half hour runs during the week. But then on your weekend, if you're training for a marathon or beyond, then yeah, your weekend, you're putting in a pretty long run, sometimes two pretty long runs that might take you 3 or even like 6 hours each, or even more. If you're training for a 50 miler or a 100 miler, then yeah, you need to put in a good amount of time. But you know, in total, it's probably not that much more than someone who's really dedicated in the gym and just goes an hour a day.
Now you've been able to create some pretty dramatic improvements over that very first marathon. So I'm going to repeat again. It took you 4 hours and 53 minutes to complete that marathon. Then you write that 6 months after going vegetarian, you set a personal best of 3 hours and 10 minutes when you qualified for the Boston Marathon. So you went from 4 hours, 53, down to 3 hours and 10 minutes. Now that's a huge difference.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's something, it's one of the things that I am most proud of, that I actually did get to Boston, because that was on my mind from the very first marathon we did. That was kind of our goal. We actually wrote that down as our projected finish time when we did this marathon in college. We wrote down 3:10 as our time, because we knew that's what it would take to qualify for Boston. So the fact that we didn't even come close and that it took me so long, it actually took me almost 7 years or maybe even 8 years to actually run that qualifying race with something like 5 marathons in between there. And the last... I think I took off a lot of that time was just once I figured out how to train, how to not get injured. I mean, that was a huge part, and that probably took off an hour of the time. But then those last 40 minutes or so were definitely a struggle. I mean, every marathon, it was kind of an incremental improvement of 5 to 10 minutes. And then finally, I felt like I had kind of plateaued. Like I only improved by 3 minutes or something in two marathons that I did. And I was stuck at 3 hours and 20 minutes. I knew I still had to take 10 minutes off my marathon. And I was just like, what am I going to do that's different? Because up until now, I felt like I'm just on this path of improvement. And as long as I keep doing it, I will eventually get there. So finally, I felt like I'm stuck. I don't really know what to do, how I'm going to get faster, how am I going to take 10 more minutes? Because at that point, to take 5 minutes off was, you know, a very tough thing. It took me 6 or 8 months of training, it felt like, to get 5 more minutes off. So that was when I finally, I had this sort of desire to go vegetarian. I had just been thinking about not really feeling right about eating animals, which was sort of a new thing to me. It was sort of came up out of the blue that I just all of a sudden didn't really want to eat animals anymore. But I said, you know, I finally said, I'm just going to give it a try. I have nothing to lose at this point because what I'm doing has stopped working. So I gave it a try. And then, like I said, 6 months after that, I had taken those 10 minutes off and I qualified for Boston.
Wow. So I wrote some notes here. It takes you 5 to 6 months just to shave off another 5 to 6 minutes.
Yeah. I mean, it depends at what level you're running. Like the first marathon to the second marathon, I took a whole hour off because I just, there were dramatic improvements to be made, learning how to train. There's sort of a diminishing returns thing. So you get big returns on training at first. And as your body gets more in shape, you become more proficient as a runner. There sort of becomes less room for improvement. So it takes much more work. And, you know, at the highest levels of marathon running, I mean, these men and women are, you know, a minute or 2 minutes is a ton of time to improve. And, you know, it might be unheard of that you could continuously improve by a minute or two from every 6 months of training. So, yeah. So as your body sort of reaches its potential or approaches it, it gets much more difficult to make improvements.
So, you know, you guys were hitting the weights in the gym, doing the bodybuilding thing. I mean, were you trying to pack on muscle and trying to get that six pack?
Yeah, exactly.
Is that what's going on? Okay. And then it looks like you kind of shifted over to being all about endurance. Did you figure out that that's kind of your calling, or do you still do weight training, trying to improve your body, like trying to put on more muscle, or how did you go make that shift?
Yeah, I mean, really, the Boston Marathon sort of, I don't know, having that huge goal, in some way, it was just, I felt like it was sort of what I needed as far as fitness goes. Prior to that, I had just been kind of all over the place. Like, I had done different programs, all generally in the gym. Sometimes I would incorporate running. And yeah, it was okay. I got good results. I was able to put on some weight when I had wanted to. But I don't know. It was something about having this goal that I was so far away from that seemed just like an impossible thing to take 100 minutes off that marathon, that it just kind of like ignited some sort of passion in me that I didn't really realize was there. So the outlet kind of became endurance sports, but it, you know, it's possible that had someone approached me with some weightlifting goal, you know, maybe that would have, you know, I could have gone that direction too. So I don't know that endurance sports are my calling, but as I've gotten into it, I find that I just tend to enjoy it more than weightlifting. Like, it's easy for me to go out for a fairly easy, you know, very moderately paced run for 2 hours and kind of enjoy it, listen to music, listen to podcasts, whatever. I find that more enjoyable than working really hard for half an hour in the gym and being kind of in a bunch of pain. And I know that people are totally different, and I've certainly had been in spots where I have enjoyed a half hour of working really hard in the gym. But for long term, I think that's kind of, it's a better fit for my life and just what motivates me. The more relaxed speed of endurance sports, I guess, that you're willing, if you're willing to put in the time and make it about, can I keep going versus can I keep going really fast? You know, I don't know. It's just a little bit more my speed, I guess.
Would you say that your genetics are geared more towards endurance than they are towards strength and muscle building?
Yes, that's absolutely true. I mean, it's very hard to argue that being lighter is not an advantage in endurance sports, because if you're running for 50 miles, then, you know, 5 pounds makes a tremendous difference over that, like the number of steps you take and the amount of impact that's going down in your legs. is tremendously different just from losing 5 or 10 pounds. So yeah, I'm naturally a very slight build. I mean, it was a big effort for me to try to put on, you know, to get up to, I think, 160 pounds at my highest. And that was when I was working out, you know, doing everything right, doing the supplements, eating a ton. And I got up there, but naturally my weight hovers around 140. If I'm running a whole lot, it'll go less. So it's just sort of like, that's the weight that I don't have to struggle to maintain. If I wanted to try to stay at 160, I'd be always having to eat till I was like uncomfortably full. So yeah, and that way my frame is built for that. On the other hand though, I'm not tall, and being tall is kind of an advantage for runners, marathoners, ultra runners. If you look at like Scott Jurek, who's one of the best ultra runners in history and happens to be vegan as well. He's a really tall guy. And if you look at the Kenyans who are winning marathons so often, they're generally, you know, fairly tall, or at least compared to their girth, they're very, you know, I guess their height to weight ratio would be very high.
Are you 140 pounds?
Generally, after this 100 miler, I was down to like 135 or something. But for the most part, I hover around 140, 145.
And how tall are you?
I am 5'7".
5'7". Yeah. Well, that's there's no doubt when I ask people if they feel like they're genetically built for that, the way this is, I'm talking to the audience now, so you know, those of you who are listening right now, one way to know is you try both. And usually the one that just feels like it just fits like a glove and it's just natural for you, that's usually the one that you're going to end up excelling the best in. Now, yeah. Matt, I'm kind of right in the middle. I've never had an easy time putting on muscle, and I've always hated doing endurance stuff. Mm-hmm. But okay. I've always been fairly okay at both. I mean, just going through PE class in high school and, you know, racing and running around with my friends, I could do okay with endurance, but I would dislike every minute of it. And then from the muscle building side, I got to work my butt off just to gain a little bit of muscle. I got to eat like crazy, and it's never, ever, ever comfortable. And the moment I let up either on the nutrition or the training, my gains just go right in the garbage, almost in a fraction of the time that it took to put on. I'm right there, kind of in the middle.
Right.
I feel like a lost soul. I feel like I don't have a place.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I don't. You know, running was never natural to me either. I hated running, like the mile run in gym class. I used to dread that day because I'd make it around the track for my 8-minute mile or whatever, kind of middle of the pack, and just be bent over breathing at the end of that, just you know, dead. Because I just did not like running, and even when we were lifting weights in college, Every time I had got on the treadmill for a mile, I just hated it. Having the bigger goal in mind of a marathon all of a sudden sort of gave it a purpose. Like I finally understood, you know, why I'm running, and that it started to feel like that I was building towards something, training, and I kind of had a motivation to start to enjoy it. And actually, if you just slow down, like a lot of people, you know, they tell me, oh, I'd like to do that, but I just hate running. If you just slow, I mean, people assume, again, because of that gym class mile, I think, people assume that if you're going to run a mile, then you should run that mile as fast as you can. There's really no reason to do that. I mean, you can slow down by 2 or 3 minutes for that mile, and it can become an entirely different experience. And you might be able to go 2 or 3 miles when you thought you could never run more than one, just because you slowed down by 20%, and it becomes a whole lot more enjoyable. Your body stays in sort of a different state, doesn't go into this stressed out. They call it like a sugar burning state, but. I don't know if you want to get into that sort of that technical detail.
Sure, of course. Well, you know, let's segue into that. So we've gotten to know a little bit about you. So we understand now. So now I understand a little bit more about your story, how you got into running, and let's kind of wrap this up with goal setting on this, because you brought something up. You said that you didn't enjoy running when you were doing it until you had a real goal set, which created purpose around every training session you ever did.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm a huge fan of setting goals and things like that. I know some people aren't motivated by goals. They like to sort of be, I don't know, more free floating through life and kind of go where the winds take them. And I can see the benefit to that at certain points. But I know I make the most progress, I grow the most when I have some sort of goal. And generally, the more unrealistic it seems, the better it ends up working out. for the most part.
I agree with you 100%. Because I mean, I'm just imagining you as the kid being forced to run a mile for PE class. I mean, just, you know, you have to do it whether you like it or not, whether it's a goal of yours or not. The whole time, I mean, let's face it, you know, when you run, when you do any sort of hard, intense physical activity, it's uncomfortable. And for a lot of people, that alone is enough to stop them, except for the people that have a real goal. And I look back at the times in my life when I was in the best shape ever, when I had the most hardest, rippedest 8-pack, you know, I was on TV and you know, everything was good. I had goals and I was charting progress at such a level where I was recording every single rep and set and weight that I used and predicting my next workouts. I was so anal and on top of it, but that's also when I had the very best results. And it's also when I was the most motivated to never, ever, ever miss a workout or a meal.
Right. And what happens, I think, has happened to me, and I would imagine for others too, is that when the goal kind of gets you over the initial hump, like that became my reason to do these initial 3-mile runs that were really uncomfortable. But because I'd never pushed myself to that point before. But once that goal has motivated you to put in this hard work and do the stuff that is not really fun, except for what it might lead to in this goal, that's how you do it enough to start to actually enjoy the activity for its own sake. So I did not like running at all when I started training for a marathon. Didn't even come to enjoy running really until my probably second or third marathon. But if not for having that goal, I never would have gotten to the point where I realized how enjoyable running for its own sake can be once you've gotten over that hump.
Really quickly though, I mean, would you have been able to accomplish what you've been able to accomplish if you were not on a vegetarian or vegan diet?
You know, I'm always hesitant to say, you know, absolutely no, I would have never done this had I not switched diets. Just because, I don't know, there are so many variables and one thing that does kind of turn me off about, and it turned me off for a long time before I was vegan, about this whole movement was, you know, I had this idea that people were so, as soon as they went vegan, they would sort of, you know, just be willing to credit anything, you know, say that it was due to their diet. So I've always sort of like shied away from saying, yes, it's absolutely due to that. But, you know, when I step back, look at what has happened, the difference between me as a runner now and me as a runner 4 or 5 years ago is night and day, and there are actually, you know, several of the athletes I've talked to have cited recovery and the ability to avoid injury as really the primary benefit of going vegan or becoming vegan as an endurance athlete. And you know, without that, and when I look back over the past 4 or 5 years, I've had almost no injury issues at all, whereas before that they cropped up every single time I tried to train for a marathon. I had injury issues. So I would say there's a lot of evidence in sort of, you know, saying yes, because I've gone vegan, it has allowed me to get into ultra running.
So switching to a vegan or a vegetarian diet, it's allowed you to train injury free, which means that you get to train more days out of the year than you would if you were to get injured.
Absolutely.
And you say it increases recovery, so that you're able to train harder or train longer because you're recovering so much quicker.
Yep. And get back out there sooner, without raising the risk of injury. Because if you're not recovering and you get out there and you try to put in the same workout the next day, you might be able to get it done, but you're doing some more damage. And then over time, this will build up if you're not recovering, and you'll have a big injury. So yeah, so that all comes down to this recovery benefit that so many of the elite athletes that I've talked to have cited as the benefit of this diet.
Okay, well, because I want to put the spotlight on the advantages or the benefits that you've experienced both firsthand and from the theory. Because I'm sure, were you thinking about this when you decided to switch over to vegetarian the first time?
Not really. Like I was, like I said, it was an ethical thing at first, and I had fought it for a while. And I said, trying to train for the Boston Marathon. I can't imagine that if I go vegetarian, it seems like if I went vegetarian, it would just ruin this training for Boston Marathon thing. Finally, though, like I said, I hit that point where I plateaued, and I said, well, what I'm doing now isn't working, so I'm willing to try something else. So that's what you said. I said, finally, I'll just try vegetarian and see what happens. I thought I would lose, you know, and everyone, I mean, that's sort of like it seems to be the general assumption about a vegetarian diet, if you're not involved in this like we are, you know, if you go vegetarian, you'll be weak, you won't get enough protein, you can't do sports. So I had that going on in my head, but I said, I'm just going to try it because I have nothing to lose at this point. And, you know, to my amazement, in some way, it started working. And I started at that point to look into it more and realize that there were lots of people at the highest levels of endurance sports who were advocating vegan diets. So
Well, Matt, I had the same experience. I went vegan as a challenge for my wife. There was no other reason besides that. I was going to just try it out for 8 weeks and see if I could build any muscle. And all of my – I had the same fears. I thought I was going to get weaker. I actually thought I was going to get less healthy as a result. I thought I was going to get fatter. And the unfortunate part of it was that all of those things happened. I got weaker, I got fatter, and I got sicker. But looking at it now, the reason I got sicker, fatter, and weaker is because I didn't know what the hell I was doing.
Right.
It took me 9 months to figure out how to do it right, where I got more ripped and got all my muscle back and strength back. But for me, I went because it was just a challenge. And then after going vegan, I became an ethical vegan. It took me only 3 days to figure out what I was doing. So you went ethical. You decided to change your diet for ethical reasons. Tell me about that.
Yeah, I mean, I had just, like I said, marathon training. I didn't even think about it. I was like eating like the lean, the protein chicken breast, and then, you know, lean red meat sometimes. And I thought that was a really healthy diet. I thought that was as healthy as you could be, basically, what I was doing. And then all of a sudden, sort of this inconvenient urge to go vegetarian cropped up, just from some books I was reading and things that weren't really vegetarian books, but were about kind of consciousness and what's going on in the minds of humans and animals and things like that. And I just started to feel like animals are not that different from people. That, you know, that's kind of my own opinion. And as to be consistent with that, it didn't seem right to be eating them anymore.
What books were these?
There's a guy named Douglas Hofstadter. He's a mathematician, and he writes some really good books about consciousness. He has one called I Am a Strange Loop, and that was really one of the big ones for me. It's all about how the mind works and what this illusion of consciousness is, how it gets created in the mind. And when I read about that, it just seemed to me that it was no different from animals, the way humans did it, only just a difference of degree, not like a fundamental difference. So I don't know. I started to feel like that the humans are just kind of different versions of animals, and that we're all. And I realized that, you know, certain religious beliefs don't agree with that at all. But for me, that's what really started to pull me towards a vegetarian diet.
That's fascinating. That's amazing. And so you went for ethical. So you said, I don't care what happens to my performance. I can't go back to eating meat ever again.
Yeah, and I think if I had been still making really big improvements, you know, honestly, looking back, I probably wouldn't have done it yet. I would have said, no way, I'm very close to qualifying for Boston. I'm going to at least keep going and doing this, and then maybe I'll think about vegetarianism after that. But once I got to this point where those improvements kind of stopped coming, then I was like, okay, well, now this isn't working, so I need to change something, so why not just try this? And I had started to hear a little bit about the long-term health benefits of a plant-based diet. So that was kind of in my mind too, and I was thinking, you know, what I'm doing, even if it is working well for marathon training or working fairly well, it might not be the best thing for my long-term health and energy levels. So that was kind of the final shove I needed to really give it a try. And I, you know, was amazed immediately. Within, I don't know, 4 to 6 weeks, I started realizing how different a runner I already was, as I kind of lost a few pounds from it, like not strength, not muscle, but just kind of slimmed down a little bit, lost maybe 5 pounds, and just felt like I was able to get I had a great summer of training, and I was hooked then. That, you know, didn't look back, never have since then.
That's amazing. Oh, I've got more questions to ask you about that, but what a story. I mean, shoot, that sounds like a fascinating book, by the way. That can you tell me what the title again, or and the author?
Yeah, yep. It's called I Am a Strange Loop, which is, I know, I realize, kind of a strange title, but strange loop is a term that he ends up coining and defining in the book. The guy's name is Douglas Hofstadter. It's Hofstadter. He's like a cognitive scientist and writes some really interesting books.
Very cool. Okay, we're gonna wrap it up right here, and we're gonna carry the conversation onto the next episode on the next podcast. So for those of you listening, I hope you've enjoyed this so far. Got to know Matt Frazier a little bit. What an amazing guy! If you haven't already, we're going to go a little bit off topic. Make sure that you pick up your very own copy of your free muscle building guide. Go to veganmusclebook.com. Also, don't forget to join the conversation that's happening right now over at Facebook. Go to facebook.com/veganbodyrevolution. And if you need anything at all, if you want to get in touch with Matt, or if you can go to his website, go to nomeatathlete.com. Also, be sure to listen to his podcast. Just search No Meat Athlete on the iTunes podcast search interface, and you'll be able to find his podcast right there near the top. Very good stuff. So I want to thank you so much for tuning in. Thank you, Matt. We'll continue this conversation on the next episode, where we're going to be discussing more specifically, how to take you from where you are right now to drastically improving your running performance, both with training and with nutrition. So look forward to that. I want to thank you so much for tuning in. My name is Thomas Tadlock of the Vegan Body Revolution Show, and I will catch you on the next podcast.